Podcast, ye landlubbers. This here be the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This be an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This be the first thoughts episode where we give our first thoughts of the amazing Once Upon a Time episode we just be a-watching. Well, I was watching with me good eye, so I'll do the best I can. And now we be sailing for Once Upon a Time treasure, so climb aboard. Here is our captain and first mate of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Captain, permission to come aboard?
Permission granted. If you can walk now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
I don't know. Wow.
So we're still reeling from the episode.
My heart literally fluttered and was hurting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, again, Adam and Eddie have hit it out of the park.
Holy cow.
And please do me a favor. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but please do me a favor. Let them know how much you appreciate this show. Some of you may not like the direction this season is going, but let them know how much you appreciate the work they're doing, the actors and all that. But specifically, Adam and Eddie. Adam, I can't even talk. Adam and Eddie, please let them know how much you appreciate the show. That would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, it's just spectacular.
So tonight, I can't even talk.
Dude.
Tonight's first thoughts is about the episode entitled Think Lovely Thoughts.
Yes.
And we thought lovely thoughts about tonight's episode and some scary thoughts as well.
Yeah.
Huh. So.
I'm not even sure I even have words.
Yeah. Well, I'll start and I imagine you'll have a few here and there.
I know, but I mean, I'm still, like you said, we're just reeling from this episode. It was just, wow.
So, I remember back when I said, I wonder what Rumpel's father was like and all that. So, tonight we did get a very good glimpse of who Rumpel's father was. And specifically, he's a huckster. He's a trickster. He's a trickster. And as we learn throughout, he's a liar and a cheat. And he's just
an
upstanding coward. And he's an upstanding individual in the community. Everybody really loves him. The family name is intact. You know, it's wonderful. So we see that he plays card games and cheats people out of money and gets beat up and robbed and
lies to Rumpel.
Sure. And
wow.
But, you know, the gentleman who's rearing back to hit him in the who later beats up his father, he tells Rumpel, you'd be better off without him.
Yeah.
You know, and but Rumpel doesn't see it that way. You know, he loves his father. And that's what's kind of interesting about parents is, you know, kids, especially in most situations, they love their parents in spite of their foibles, you know, and if they are removed or taken, it can be hard. It's like they're the only father and mother I know. It's like, but no, this person's a rascal. They do this and that. And God, but he's still my dad.
Right.
So love is, you know, it is said love covers a multitude of sins. And it's interesting how you can love somebody that is just so rotten.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. So the key to all this is, you know, Peter Pan says we're going to save magic, which will save us all.
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting the weight on Henry as far as, look, it's not just for me, but it's for all of us. Everyone on this island, the guys dancing around with the goofy dance and the sticks and everything.
Right.
You know, you got to save it. You have to truly believe. Again, it's not just believe. It's truly believe.
Right.
The heart of the truest believer. And it's this pinnacle of, you know, so he mentions destiny. Tonight, boys, lost boys, you know, our destiny is here, and Henry is going to save magic. He's going to.
Mm-hmm.
So Henry it's interesting that Henry wants to save magic. He was very intent on doing
that. Oh, very much so.
But Henry, if you go back to the episode where Regina makes that gigantic cupcake, he did not want her to use magic.
No, that's what's freakish. So. And that's what floored me about this whole thing is he's willing to do this, but he didn't want her to use magic before. So why would he want to save magic?
And someone who's so leery about magic and not wanting it done, that reminds me of...
Well, Greg and Tamara, but...
No, Bay.
Oh, Bay. Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. Yes. Yep. Going, it mirrors Bay exactly.
So, you know, like father, like son.
Like grandson.
Goes on down. Family is one of the... It's not a highlighted thread in this episode, but it is there. Family connections and together, and you're going to hear words all on and on and on as we go. So, but yeah, I mean, Regina thought Pan was lying, and this has been another one of these thematic threads through this whole arc of this first part of season three. Is can you trust what you see? Can you trust a pirate? Can you trust Peter Pan, who everyone has said, you can't believe him. He's a demon. He's this, he's that.
Right.
And so all these things that are told about all these people, can you trust an evil queen? Can you trust a dark one? Can you trust all these different things? Obviously, Snow and Charming kind of taking a back seat. Emma's taking a back seat. Mm-hmm. Bay, for the most part, is kind of taking a back seat. But now all these others are like, how can you trust these whatever... insert name here of the heart of the person, let's say. So, but yeah, I mean, it was, we kind of touched on this as Pan lies and then tells the truth and then lies and tells the truth. So you never know what to believe.
Right. He manipulates the truth so well that it's very hard to determine whether he's being honest or whether he's giving you a version of the truth that isn't quite what you are looking for.
And there are wives and ex-wives and girlfriends and ex-girlfriends that are going, amen, sister. I've dated that man or that guy. I've dated them, you know. So, yeah. All right. So Regina is Rumpel's August. Let me explain. Is Regina really helps Rumpel kind of see through the fog.
Right.
Because Rumpel's kind of been on this, I need to save Henry. And then, of course, he tells Bay about the prophecy.
Right.
So, again, we've talked about this, the group being split up, and then one person knows about the secret, but the whole group doesn't know about the secret.
Right.
It's just kind of like the fun. And we had the whole group together outing all these secrets tonight. So it was kind of like the Neil apartment in New York, in Manhattan, when all the secrets came out.
Yeah.
You mean he's my son? Pause. Yes. You know, I mean, all these things that have been kept around. But anyway, so Regina's helping Rumpel kind of see all the different facets of things that are going on. Because he's not seeing that. And so it's really interesting that Regina's helping Rumpel in his old Dark One age, I guess. But he said, the next time I see Bay will be when I put Henry in his arms.
Yeah.
We're not going to skip ahead, but remember that line.
Yes.
Whenever that happens, that just remember that line. And he went on to say, when father and son are reunited, I couldn't, he said that. And what I was thinking is that really undoes what his father did to him, what he did to his son. And season one was really all about reuniting, you know, the true north. Just one example off the top of my head, reuniting father with his children. Right. And so there was a lot of that in season one, some in season two, you know, Cora and Regina and all that.
Right.
But so Rumpel is committed to that. And But I looked at I looked at Regina's look on her face when that exchange was done, and she was kind of like, "What about his mom?" You know, you're intent about giving it, you know, Henry handing him to his father, but what about his mom? What about me?
Right.
So we did meet the two spinsters that spin wool into yarn. Spinsters that spin.
Yes.
So we've heard kind of, and that's who took care of Rumpel when he was younger, the two spinsters.
Right.
I don't think I wrote this down, but the way they talked was almost like they were two halves of the same person, because one would start a line and the other would finish it.
Yes.
Especially toward the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was kind of like maybe witches or pixies or some type of magical creatures. So
I'm trying to think of, you know, who they would be in, you know, fairy tale or mythology or something like that. And I'm not specifically holding on to a specific story.
Two witches in Macbeth, wasn't there?
I want to say three, but okay. I could be wrong. Right. Typically, it's the muses. There were seven muses, so it's not the muses. And then there were the witches. There were the three fates, so it's not the three fates. So, and they were blind anyway, so I don't know who these two women are. I'd have to know what their names are, and that might give some clues, but anyway.
Okay. All right, so Rumpel's dad was going to drump Rumpel off for a little while.
He was going to do what to him?
He dropped Rumpel off for a little while.
Okay, when you listen back to this, you're going to hear yourself say, drump him off.
Drop him off.
You did. You said drump him off.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That just made me laugh.
I have not been drinking. The first dog lady is underneath her bed, scratching her back on the carpet below. And I don't know. She wants a bunk bed or something. It's weird. Settle down over there.
It's a weird night, dude. I'm going to blame the full moon, by the way.
Settle down.
Because it's just weird, wacky stuff.
All right. So what I really thought was sad is his father said, I'm going to leave you here for a little while, and then later we're going to be together.
Right.
I think children have heard that forever.
Sure, one too many times.
You know, and what was the saddest line early in the episode is Rumpel said, you know, I don't want to stay here. I want to stay with you. I'll be good. Oh, just like, oh, that's tragic. I mean,
yeah, because little kids figure when their dads go away like that, they figure it's because they did something bad.
I wonder if there's a psychologist in the writing room that when they kind of talk about things, you know, that they may throw out, say something like, I'll be good. Like, that happens a lot. And then I'll.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of the writers or two has background in psychology.
Yeah. So, you know, I wrote, you know, about the leaving Rumpel there for a little while so they could be together later. Was that a lie? And
absolutely. So. I'm convinced it was. He had no intention of coming back for him.
So he gave them the doll, said to be a friend when his dad was gone.
Yep.
And he said, you can give it a name. When you give it a name, it makes it real.
Yep.
But we didn't know the name until later on.
And it didn't dawn on me. I'm going to be really honest. It didn't dawn on me to think about the name. Because honestly, what I kept thinking in my head was the name that Robert Carlyle gave it, which was Edgar.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's all I kept thinking in my head was, so was he like spoof? Was he, you know, spilling it? Was he spoiling that for us by calling him Edgar? Is that getting me his name is Edgar? It didn't dawn on me that he would name it Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Snow and Emma had this discussion. So did you bury the hatchet? And Snow said, well, no, I didn't bury the hatchet. We put away the hatchet till later, basically.
Yeah.
And so they were discussing it. And she said, well, you know, Emma said, "Are you going to stay?" And she goes, "Well, I don't know." And so she goes, "So you're just giving up then?"
No, it was the whole thing of, well, you know, he can't leave or he'll die. Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what's going to happen here because, you know, I can't leave him, you know, and it's just like, well, wait, you're not even, there's no hope for him, you know, to be able to leave the island. Wait, you're just giving up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking was, what else could Snow do? And then I said, well, maybe Emma could do magic too.
Yeah, I mean,
Note I wrote down as I was
Emma's
watching it,
starting so. To really embrace her magical
yeah.
abilities, which I think is really cool. But it's interesting, and we'll see where that takes us. But I was thinking in terms of Emma was thinking that they could ask Rumple or Regina to help.
Right.
I honestly think she was prepared to ask one of them for help.
Yeah, so the,
or even Tink.
Yeah.
But probably Regina or Rumple.
Yeah. And so for sure she brought it up with Hook, and Hook goes, look, man, that's all I know. You know, so, but Snow is rubbing off on Emma when Emma said, you said there's always a way. Don't give up, you know. So I love the extended Avengers pose
oh,
there.
Oh, dude, that was awesome.
When poor Regina was coming out of the bushes, and they're all ready to cut her up with all the cutlasses and knives
and
all that and arrows.
Yeah.
And they were all wearing black except
yeah.
for Snow, who's in purple.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so Tink, the fairy, was in black and everybody was, I guess Emma took a change of clothes. She
yeah.
had a turtleneck sweater. Very stylish turtleneck sweater, but I mean, nobody took any bags with them. I don't know where they got the clothes. Is there Neverland clothiers? I don't know. You know, so anyway. So Regina, I guess she had a long discussion with Rumple about Pandora's box. It said, this is the box we're going to trap Pan for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
All eternity. I want to stress that word, and we'll get back to it toward the end of the episode.
Right.
So Bay outed Rumple and his prophecy to the whole group, and we
yep.
touched on that.
Yep.
So
yep.
And when you get everybody together, it doesn't take rum, and people just start talking, and then things come out. It's like
right.
So.
Well, and it was very petty, almost the way he did mm-hmm. it. He was like. He wanted everyone to turn against Rumple.
Yeah.
It felt like that to me.
He's not, yeah, he has not been the most welcoming son to Rumple for a lot of different reasons. So.
Right.
Yep.
Well, he's not very forgiving now. He might have been back then, but he's not now.
So Emma said, if you want to get to Henry, because once they found out that per the prophecy, he was going to kill Henry,
mm-hmm.
Emma said, you have to go through all of us. So it's kind of like a shark and jet thing and all that.
It was more of a, it was interesting that she actually spoke on behalf of the group. I think she.
Regina let her. She goes, lead, do it.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, did Hook commit to saving Henry? I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Then what I'm saying is, what's Hook's investment in saving Henry? Only to impress Emma, right? But he doesn't have a tie to him. The rest of them all have some sort of tie to him. So it's kind of funny that, and Tinkerbell has no, you know, it's no matter to her whether or not.
She's probably bootstrapping in with Bay. Like
well,
whatever
sure.
Bay wants, that's
sure,
fine.
Sure. But I'm just saying it was kind of interesting that Emma basically volunteered the rest of them to fight off Rumple, which I think is kind of funny when you think about it. I mean, I know they all feel that way, with the exception of maybe Tinkerbell and possibly Hook on some level. But it was funny right. that she was kind of speaking on their behalf, going, you're going to have to go through all of this.
It you know, some people are just really tired of Neverland, and I see a lot more story to tell. And I'm actually interested in it. We haven't heard much about Tink and the story
right.
between when she lost her wings to how she got to the island.
Right.
Why she's staying there and why can't she leave, whatever.
Right.
So, anyhow, Rumpel's a good spinner. He learned pretty fast, and yes. the spinsters, I guess, were good teachers.
Yeah, from such a young age, he had a talent, and he didn't think he had talent, which is really sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad. He didn't think he had any talent. And yet, it's funny, they told him he did. They told him he was gifted. He was very good at what he did, and it still didn't like resonate with him as he got older. You know what I mean?
Well,
he still was concerned that he didn't have enough to bring to the table.
Let me read this, and then we'll talk about that in a little bit. So was this the same hovel that he and Bay shared? That was what you mentioned.
I believe it is, because it looked very much like the same house that they lived in.
So I wrote down, the spinster said, you know, you could spin for kings and queens one day. Mm-hmm. And wasn't that part of the actual Rumpelstiltskin story?
Yes, absolutely.
And not only could he spin, but he could teach someone else to spin, mainly Cora, that we've seen, who spun for a king.
And it became the queen.
Right.
Right.
So, interesting.
And I'm pretty sure that Rumpel has spun for other kings and queens.
Sure, sure. You know, they said it's a gift. It's not a talent. And, you know, not specifically in this episode, but gifts can be burdens. Sure. And that's been alluded to. Rumpel has said that, I think.
You know, I can't recall.
Magic is, yeah. So,
I can't recall.
And then he wants to spin for money. Even at a young age, he's already trying to kind of, wait a minute, I can parlay this into money. And then, you know, my father and I can be together.
Right, because he knows.
Because his father has to trick people out of money. And he said, well, wait a minute, I can do it fairly legitimately, I guess. I could spin and then sell it legitimately.
Right.
And then help my father out and not have to be a cheat.
Right. So.
Oh, fathers, fathers, fathers. You know, it's funny. The fathers were rarely mentioned in season one, pretty much, except for Leopold and that kind
George.
Of thing. But mostly, it's the mothers and as we work through.
Right.
But the fathers are all...
Oh, it's all about dad in season three.
Pretty bad, yeah. All right, so as a gesture to Bay, okay. So your father will always be your burden.
Right, that was what was said to him by
the spinsters. Yeah. So as a trustful gesture, Rumpel gave up the box to Bay.
Well, let's talk that whole scene through. I mean, the whole scene was this conversation about the fact that Rumpel can't be trusted, and he's the dark one. He's going to take out Henry because it's going to be his undoing. So he can't be trusted. And Babe pretty much said, you know what? No. You want me to trust you? I need you to give me that box and no magic.
Right.
And he said, okay. But he hesitated. And he hesitated because I think he knew that he needed to do it, but I think he was afraid that he was going to be left defenseless.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they kept moving forward, the best line of the whole night was, you don't mind if I borrow this and pull it out? Hook sword.
Right.
Because I said no magic, but I don't want to go in there with just my good looks.
Yep.
That made me laugh because I'm like, woohoo, that could get you a long way with me. That was funny because he looked great. He's still beautiful. I just still love him. So anyway.
Yeah, but you got two of them in the same group. You got Hook and you got Rumpel. What are you going to do?
Dude.
Flip a coin. How are you? All right, then. All right. I want to explain the look I just got. All right.
Okay.
Then.
You, seriously, you have Mary Margaret.
I understand.
You have Emma.
Yes, I do.
You got Lana.
Yes, I do.
You've got Ruby.
I understand. And Tink with a little hair fixing.
Tink?
She's got some hair that
needs
to be
fixed. Well, she'll get back to her good self and then she'll probably be fixed up.
Right.
So you got a whole bevy of beauties there to deal with.
I know.
I got my Rumpel and Hook.
I understand.
I'm just saying.
And you met Josh, so you kind of have a thing for charming, too.
You know what? Yes. Actually, yes. Charming, I love charming to pieces, but Hook and Rumple just, I mean, charming, I expect him to be the way he is, because that's what that's his character, right? Hook and Rumple, totally not, and that's what makes him so tantalizing.
And what's funny is, I mean, we could talk about the characters, but I think you like Robert.
Oh,
and Colin more than the
characters?
Right.
Actually, believe it or not, it's really a toss-up. I mean, I love them all pretty equally. And I do love Josh.
Right.
Josh mm-hmm. by himself. Yes. I like Charming. Don't get me wrong. I like him. But again, he's expected to be like that. So it's kind of like there's nothing right. that like, but yeah. Robert is amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to get in any more trouble. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's just do that.
All right. So, he gave up the box.
Yes.
As a trustful act to
gesture of goodwill.
Right. And so what was said is Peter Pan destroyed my father.
Yep.
It was very much like Vader betrayed and murdered your father, Luke.
Yeah.
So it was that whole kind of twisting it around and mm-hmm. not necessarily the same. From a certain point of view, I guess, it would be the same. Anyway. All right.
No, it's very much the same.
Right.
Because Vader was Luke's father. It was Anakin, but he was no longer Anakin because the rage and hate took over him, and he became Darth Vader.
More machine than man. I'm going to stop.
Let's stop there.
All right. So then Rumple's father actually said it was a very few episodes where they actually say the title mm-hmm. in it. Ariel's one, I think 7:15 is another one. But yeah, Think Lovely Thoughts. Dark Hollow, yeah, maybe more.
Oh, yeah. Maybe second star of the right and straight out the morning.
Yeah,
trust
maybe
me.
They said pilot in the first one. I don't know.
I don't think they said pilot, but anyway, and I'm pretty sure the pilot has a name, but I don't know what it is.
Yes, chapter one.
No.
Okay, so Rumple's father said, "In my sleep, I would travel to the most wonderful place, Neverland."
Well, that's when it was, he basically told him, well, where is this place? Did it have a name? What was it called?
Right.
Neverland.
Who drew him there? You know what I mean? Because Pan talked so much about these dreams, the boys would dream and all this kind of stuff. How did Rumple's father have that kind of a dream? You know, maybe it's the shadow calling him
Know. And as we know... Later, as we learn later on, the shadow has always been there.
Yeah. That reminds me of a TV show. Anyway.
Yes.
All right. So the first bean portal, well, not the first, but I mean, we saw a bean portal being used.
Yes.
And this time we did see for sure that he was thinking about Neverland and that's where they went.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yep. Even when I heard this on the television show, I just like a cold chill and the shiver up my spine when Emma said, we need to talk. I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to talk. No, that's never good. And Hook said that.
Yeah. He goes, when a woman says that, it's never a good thing.
Yeah. All right. So then the new plan was we need to take some water. Or actually, Emma said, well, can we take some water off Neverland? And then Hook said, well, but once that water runs out, it's still the same. So you can prolong it, but not...
Right. You know. It's not indefinite.
And I've never brought this up, but I do want to ask now is that, okay, the water on Dead Man's Peak is that keep you on the thing and heal you, whatever water.
Right.
But what about other tributaries on the island? Is it the same water? Is it different water? You know what I mean?
I would imagine that it's probably diluted as it's run down the mountain because the closest to the source is going to be the most pure and that's where it's going to have the most healing powers. So possibly the other water might have some magical properties, but probably very diluted. Laws of gravity, laws of nature. That's all I'm thinking.
So Rumple said he could create an elixir. Does that name mean anything to you?
Yes. It's very much it reminded me of Wizard of Oz.
Right. It reminded me of snake oil salesmen.
Right. They that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it actually reminded me also, too, of, believe it or not, Oklahoma. The musical Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Because Ali Heckam was the...
Yep.
It was the traveling peddler.
Traveled all over the
world.
He
was a peddler man.
Yeah,
and he had an elixir from the Far East that would show you all your dreams.
Or Mr. Haney from Green Acres, or one of my more favorite.
No, that was Mr. Haney from Green Acres.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had all this kind of stuff.
He was not. Oh, you're talking about Mr. Haney on Green Acres had
yeah,
it.
Sure.
Oh, well, it was funny because Eddie Albert was Ali Heckam, which is the key or the connection to Green Acres, but anyway.
It also reminded me of Red Dead Redemption. There was a guy very similar to kind of the classic, you know, snake oil salesman and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so a number of those things.
Yeah.
So he said it's going to require a huge favor in return for that.
Yeah.
Because they were going, can't you do us a favor? And he goes, well, it's going to require a big favor back. Here's another thing. I'm going to keep it close, but I need to go into this thing. I miss a couple of things. Once something is established in season one, you kind of expect it to be the same. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast, is that I miss the old Rumple with the deals.
Yep.
We haven't seen a lot of that. Regina's been making deals, actually. It's kind of been other people have been doing it. But this is the first time where we have this kind of the same air of, okay, I'll do this for you, but you have to do this for me. Here, sign this or make an oath or something.
Well, he kind of did a little bit, and it wasn't even that he did a deal. In fact, remember back in Valentine's Day when he was trying to woo Belle a little bit more or whatever, he was trying to come up with something?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was David that said, wait, so if I help you, what do you want in return? He goes, no, this is just a favor. There's no deal.
Yeah.
This is all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, I think, being that he's trying to get in touch with his real self or whatever, I think he's not inclined to make deals. This time he was, though, and it was like, oh, yeah, that's Rumple.
But Bay actually stepped in and negated that.
Oh, absolutely.
He said, oh, no, you're doing this just to be nice, basically.
Because it's the right thing to
you
do.
You are not going to play any more of your games. And you know, for the first time, because, you know, Rumple could have told him all kind of different things.
Just sure.
Look, you don't even know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, okay. that's fine. But, you know, it's nice kind of Bay standing up to him and helping him over that hump of the old Rumple doing the old things, kind of saying, nah, we're going to stop that.
Nope. It's not going to happen now.
Rumple said, I'll do as you ask to Bay, but Bay didn't ask him. He told him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Bay kind of pulled a
as
power
you wish.
Play
as didn't
a
he
son.
Say, I'll do as you wish?
No. Well, Rumple, what I wrote down is, I'll do as you ask.
Okay.
So it was funny because he didn't ask at all. And then, the good looks and the cutlass, that's pretty funny.
That was hilarious.
And Regina said about the magic, because Bay looked at... So basically, Bay was kind of in control of his father, which is kind of, you know, we all wish that now and again. But anyway, so he looked at, you know, because everyone's like, well, Rumple, aren't you going to do it? Because, no. You know, and Bay goes, no, he's no magic. And then Regina goes, well, I'll do it. She was waiting, you know. Just,
oh, she wanted
Lost
to.
Lost Boys, put him to sleep forever? Oh, just for now? Okay, I'll do that.
She was ready to knock those boys out.
And then the greatest kind of comeback line. See, Regina's comeback lines, in a way, have kind of calmed down. But then Rumple had one. He said, you remember the spell? She shot him a look.
Oh, that look!
It almost
so
jumped
priceless.
Out of the screen into my lap. I was like,
priceless.
Ah.
That was the best.
Yeah.
That, okay, he got the best line tonight with the good cut. You know, with I'm not going to go in defenseless with nothing but my good looks.
Yeah,
and she got the best look ever.
Yep,
that was just so priceless.
So, Wendy's a little liar.
Wendy's a big fat liar. She's not a little liar. She's a big fat liar.
Yeah.
She told a big fat lie, big fat lie, big fat, big fat, big fat lie.
So the beach that we see Rumpel.
Wait,
and
you're switching gears already? Wendy's a liar, and then...
Well, I mean, it wasn't the complete scene. I just wrote down Wendy. Is Wendy the shadow? That's what I first thought. And then Wendy came back to save Bay. That's all I got for that.
Well, okay,
section.
But then you can't just like... Back. I know, but yeah, she's a big fat liar, but then you can't just say that and then all of a sudden switch gears. You got to talk about Wendy being a liar.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. It's coming up, promise.
All right.
Okay, so the same beach that Killian and Liam were on was the same beach that Rumpel and Rumpel's father stood on in one of the scenes. So I don't know where it is. It's probably
a
lovely portion of Vancouver.
Oh, I'm sure it is. The funny thing is that seems to be the opening or the portal or the gate entryway to Neverland.
Yeah. Neverland is special. Think it and it can happen. And, you know, that's one of the things that we were introduced to, that it was full of imagination.
Yep.
And we know that Henry created the sword and then Rumpel created the cheesecake.
It was a piece of chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I would have done a little better than that, but that was Rumpel.
But, honey, he was a little boy.
I know. And then his father did a face plant flying stunt. That was hard to watch. That poor guy. Right in the dirt.
You know what? It was pretty sad. But I kind of suspected it wasn't going to happen because I kept saying to myself, okay, first of all, he doesn't have any pixie dust.
Yeah.
Secondly, he's a grown-up. It's not going to work the same.
So if Rumpel's dad said he visited when he was a boy, that probably meant that you could visit, because we learn later.
It was in his dreams. He said it was in his dreams. So just like everyone else, you dream of Neverland, and it's a place where, and it exists because.
Yep.
It was in their dreams.
Said only boys can fly. I wrote that down in a rush. But anyway. So pixie dust.
Not grown-up men.
Right. Or women for the most part. There's only one there. Female on the island.
Two. Tinkerbell.
Right.
Wendy.
And we still don't know how Tink got there, why she's there, why she stayed.
Right.
I'm interested in that.
Yes.
Wonder what happened. So, Wendy lied. And Rumpel's onto her real fast. For the first time, he's fully aware. Regina doesn't have to help him this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's lying. You know, it's like, okay, yeah.
And they're like, wait. And even Neil Fire, whatever you want to call him, he even said, he kind of had that look on his face like, she wouldn't lie to me, would she?
Right.
He didn't want to believe that she was lying. Because Wendy, he knows, would never have lied.
Yes. So we see the whole group splitting up thing. Michael and John are in Storybrooke, sort of protected, maybe kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wendy's on Neverland.
Right.
And so they've both been told the opposite story.
Right.
If you do what I tell you, Michael and John will live. Otherwise, they will die. And then Michael and John, you do what I tell you, or Wendy will die.
Right.
So it's that whole thing, which adds...
Which brings me to a very interesting question. Kind of tying in with the whole charming thing. If, in fact, Michael and John are still alive and they're not on Neverland, where have they been? They grew up at some point, but they've only advanced to a certain age.
Right.
They should be well over 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They should be dead, theoretically.
Right.
So where have they been this whole time? Were they on Neverland up until recently? And then they grew up?
I don't know.
See, that'll be an interesting point. I want to make that point because here's the thing. If they have not been on Neverland the entire time... First of all, if they were on Neverland, Wendy didn't know they were there, or did she?
Right.
Secondly, if in fact they weren't on Neverland the whole time and they were in the real world and Peter Pan was keeping them alive, how?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? Because then now Charming, who who needs to get off the island.
Right.
There must be a way to keep him alive.
Probably a J. Crew store they were living in.
Oh, yeah. And they that's were it. Not a Gap store.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So Pan is dying, Wendy said. And finally, she was telling the truth.
And she was telling the truth.
Pan will take in all the magic to make from Neverland to make him immortal.
So he's not immortal at this
point. So it doesn't appear that the dagger, the Dark One dagger, is the only way to become immortal.
Correct.
If you take in all the magic from an area, from a lost-like island, then you're good. And Henry has to give him his heart. And so, you know, it follows the same thing we've seen before where different things together. It's like a witch's brew, you know, a ear of a newt or something, and this and that makes the thing happen. So
typically it's eye of a newt because I don't know if newts have ears.
Okay. All right.
I bet they'd be really cute if they were.
Skull Rock looks like the underground temple face in the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's all. But it didn't have the arms hanging out with the chain going down the fire. It did not have that. But it looks similar to me.
Yeah.
So Wendy, we have more sand drawers. Pan drew a line in the sand.
Yeah.
And it created a protection spell.
Yes.
And the first thing I mentioned to you is, did anybody carry along that little cuff, cuff to go through the border spell?
Right, right.
That's the first thing I thought of. But they had other ideas, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So Wendy said one of those famous lines, you haven't got much time.
Yep.
That's been said a million times millions of things.
Right.
When everyone
because
thinks
if everybody had plenty of time, there would be no story.
Yeah, no
drama. No edge of your seat, biting your nails. Oh my gosh, are they going to make it? What's going to happen?
All right. So then our rescue group split up again.
Of course they did.
So Charmin and Mary Margaret are going to Dead Man's Peak to get more magical water and then go to Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm.
Hook and Tink are there to guard the Lost Boys.
Yep.
Regina, Bay, Emma, and Gold are off to Skull Island.
Yep.
And we'll keep moving. We're all going back home, Emma said, together.
Right.
So again, it was that whole idea of family together. Together.
Right.
So, I think somebody said whatever your heart desires. So again, it was that whole idea of heart. We see another magical tree.
Yep.
Somebody needs to get word to the Blue Fairy that not only is there pixie dust inside rocks, but it actually grows on trees, which is kind of funny because anyone in the world will say, look, money doesn't grow on trees.
No, but
there's probably a money tree.
But apparently pixie dust
in
does.
Neverland.
Right. Oh, sure.
So, I mean, you know, someone somewhere said, look, pixie dust doesn't grow on trees, people.
Yeah,
you
got
to be careful with it. And then you go to Neverland and, no, there it is.
Well, that's what we think. We're assuming based on Rumpel's dad's dreams.
And so this these flowers that grow this pixie dust soak in the starlight.
Yes.
Not sunlight.
Starlight.
So,
right.
You know, pixies, stars.
From the moon.
From the moon. So Rumpel's father said, I want you to see how it feels to be all alone and free.
Yeah.
So, and Rumpel for the first time said he was scared. He said, I don't want to fly. I don't want any of this magic stuff.
Right.
Even though he made the cake appear.
Right.
He didn't want any of the magic stuff.
And what does that remind you of?
Bay?
Yeah, very much so.
Henry too.
Henry too.
Way, yeah.
But for sure Bay. I mean, Bay kept saying, look, I don't care about the magic stuff.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything. It's you that I'm interested in. You that I want to be with. We just need to be a family.
Yeah.
So, Very interesting.
That pixie dust flower looked like a flower I've seen before somewhere, and I don't know what kind it is. So if you're a botanist, it
looks like
please
a,
let me know.
It's a flower in Hawaii. It's not a bromeliad, although it looks kind of similar to a bromeliad. But it's opposite of a bromeliad. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a Hawaiian flower. It looks like a Hawaiian flower of sorts that I'm thinking of. Anyway.
So I like to say hello to Marilyn Manson's voice. Hi
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Manson, sir. And not a bad job on the voice.
Yeah. No.
I thought it was going to be very deeper. And it was a good voice, but I mean, I thought they were really going to make it like spooky and scary and whatever. But
it, no, it had that eerie quality to it, but it wasn't frightening.
Yeah, they didn't change it much. I mean, it was kind of a whispery quality, but it wasn't over.
It was almost what it reminded me of was it reminded me a little bit of the Christian Bale Batman. I am Batman.
Right.
Which I can't do very well because, you know, I'm a girl.
Sheldon has it in his ringtone probably. I'm Batman. Anyway, so the shadow that Han's father meets is the soul, S-O-L-E, / S-O-U-L, maybe, inhabitant of Neverland.
Yes. So if it's not his shadow, whose shadow is it?
Very good question. There was another island on another television show. It had a protector as well.
Yes, it did.
And a smoke monster.
Smoky.
You know, smoky. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And it also had a cave with the gold shimmering light and water. We didn't see much water in it, but
it was
very similar. And there was something inside of that cave that affected the entire island. So, it's kind of interesting.
Similar.
Poor Emma got a border spell whiplash, man. That thing threw her for a loop.
Yeah.
Definitely for a loop.
Yeah, it did.
So.
For reals.
Poor Emma. Big hugs to Emma.
Yep.
For that border whiplash. It was crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if J-Mo did that stunt herself. And if so, was it fun or scary?
J-Mo listens to us all the time. J-Mo, how you doing? If you did that by yourself and you didn't have a stunt double, just let us know. You can call the voicemail line. All right. So I loved Regina's little kind of parting word to Rumpel when she leaned in. You better come through, Gold.
Dude. Because
what he's doing... to you, you'll think it's child's play.
And why is that? Because he was the one who could walk through the protection spell.
Right.
Because the protection spell was cast to keep out anyone who casts a shadow. Mm. So pretty much vampires should be able to go through, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do vampires have shadows? They don't have reflections.
Possibly. They don't have reflections.
But do vampires have shadows?
I don't know. Not sparkling ones, I guess. Okay. So... the rescue team becomes rescue one.
Well, right. Because he realizes he can't, he's the only one who can go in there. And actually he purposely did that because he knew that he didn't have his shadow. Right.
Right.
So he knew it wasn't a part of him. Number one, number two, and let's just tuck that away for a minute because based on what happens in this episode, Rumpel's shadow, Rumpel's shadow may come into play later.
Yeah.
Which would be real interesting.
Yes.
So he knew, right? Because he really wanted to have that moment alone with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we found out. So while the three of them are like down there going, okay, now what? I love the fact that they decided, are we there yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the shadow moon thing, you know, that came up fairly quickly after that. It was like, well, sure. Well, isn't there a way to cover it up, you know? And then, you know, Emma and Regina, you know, M-A-G-I-C-L-Y. I mean, they're doing the magical cover up of the moon.
Well, they were, and I was like, when I thought for sure all they were going to do is just move clouds in front of it.
Yeah,
I would think that'd be a little easier, but that's just me.
But I love Regina's little thing. I wonder, you know, I wonder if you really learned anything when I try to teach you magic.
Yeah, so, we'll see if those magic lessons paid off, basically. You know, hey, if I'm as good a teacher as I think I am, you should be able to do it. But it was real interesting. Bay's look at her was very like, wait.
Well, did you see what Bay did, though? Because he was standing in front of them.
Yeah,
and then when they started to move into position, he got behind them.
Right.
This crazy magic and stuff, I'm not.
You know what?
I don't.
I think that was more a question of he was getting behind them to try to be the first one up the stairs when it happened. Right. But I also thought, too, that he was doing it because he was really looking at Emma like, wait a second. I'm not keen on magic, and you're learning magic. Mm-hmm. So it may make him think twice about being with her.
Possibly.
I'm just saying, because, you know, the whole triangle thing.
Sorry, Fire Swan. We're just talking.
Swan Fire.
We're just talking.
Yeah. We're just talking. I'm just throwing out there as a possibility that that may be a deal breaker for him because, again, he hates when Rumple used magic.
Yeah.
So if he sees Emma doing it, he may not.
That's actually a very good point. I hadn't thought about that.
So that'll put a wrench in the whole love thing.
So we see this large hourglass with this golden sand falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hourglass has kind of been used a lot. Kind of like, I don't know.
Aladdin,
sure.
Remember Jafar trapped Jasmine in the sand, the hourglass?
Mm-hmm.
And when the time ran out, she'd basically die?
Yeah. So it's been used a lot of ways to have time showing.
Sure.
Skulls all around underneath it. I wonder who those skulls were from.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Pan felt a tremor in the force.
Yeah.
In a way. When Rumple was getting near.
Yep.
The doll of protection. He pulled it out of his pocket, and I thought it was going to do something magical or something.
Really? Huh.
But he's probably thinking about the name of it, which we didn't know at the time.
No, we didn't know at the time, yeah.
So, in effect, you know, I'm not trying to wind anybody up here, but I'm just saying there's been a lot of discussion on Twitter about mothers and about adoption and this kind of thing. Now, let me slide this kind of back off. I just want to mention that, and I want to say this. So, in a way, what they're saying is fatherhood is a burden, and the only way that Rumple's father could be free, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. is to get rid of his son.
Right.
I mean,
to not be the dad anymore. That's what he was trying to do with the spinsters. And he figured that Rumple would, you know, be too young to really realize what was going on and he would stay there.
Now, what I'm not saying, oh, let's, you know, take Adam and Eddie to task on this. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that for that character, it was just, you know, did he love his son? Maybe. I don't know. And then there was kind of a later monologue that Rumple had. He said, you know, you think I don't love you? Or you think I don't love my son? You know, I do love my son. I love my son more than you. You love me, you know. But no, that was just one of those kind of things I just noticed. Is that the only way that he could be free is actually get rid of his son, because he said, Pan Daddy, is that if you're here, I'll be reminded and people will know that I'm not a boy.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway. And that's another thing that kept coming up. Let's start over. Fresh start. It was peppered throughout this entire episode.
Right.
And so in the end, after the reveal is Pan is Rumple's father, Pan is actually a coward.
Yep.
He talks a big game. He tricks and hustles people out of all kinds of different things.
Right.
But he's actually a coward because he's not living up to his responsibility. Taken
Well, the whole thing of when he says that he can't, he needs him to be taken away, and the shadow is the one who takes him away, takes Rumple away. That just blew my mind. I mean, honest to God, that absolutely blew my mind. Because I kept thinking, I know people have kind of said, wouldn't that be really weird if Pan ends up being Peter, you know, his father? I'm thinking, how? If Peter Pan's always been there, then there's no way he could have, you know, been a father because, hello, right, unless he, and sure enough, did, I mean, I think we even said this last time, there's no way he could be a father unless he'd gone back in time or unless he reverted to his youth and, holy cow.
But that scene between Pan and Rumple during around the breakfast fire, I went, you know, it could possibly be. And I go, eh, okay, all right.
The interesting thing is that, wow, you were absolutely right on that one. Because, mm-hmm. And I couldn't see how it was feasible based on what I presumed to know about Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Which is that he's always been on that island. Based on the way they've made it sound, he's been there forever. Well, he's been there a really long time, but not forever. And he didn't start there, and he didn't start out as a teenager, which he clearly is. So, wow, that is just such a fantastic, incredible plot twist.
Yep. And, you know, it's very much like, you know, Rumple the Crocodile, Rumple the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now we have...
And I'll tell you, Eddie and Adam, brilliant, and whoever was writing this episode, brilliant, 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 in saying when Rumple said that Peter Pan destroyed my father,
right?
My brain immediately went to, he killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they wanted everybody to think.
Right. But
and just like Peter Pan has made comments... I'm not keeping your. I'm not holding your family prisoner. That's not what he asked you.
Right.
So Rumple did the exact same thing that his own father did. He twisted it to say that he destroyed my father. He didn't say he killed him.
So.
But I naturally went there.
So let's talk about this. Okay. So Rumple's. Okay. So Peter Pan is Rumpelstiltskin's father.
Yep.
Who is a coward?
Yep.
And I think that's going to be the Achilles heel, is he will be undone, like the prophecy said of Rumpelstiltskin,
mm-hmm.
by his cowardice. So Peter Pan is going to fail because of his cowardice, you know, and it, so we'll
here's
see.
The thing. Let's look at the prophecy again. What was the prophecy again? The prophecy was that a young boy would lead you to your son.
Right.
And the young boy will be your undoing.
Right.
It's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened? Henry led him to Bay.
Right.
Henry got taken to Neverland.
Right.
And Henry was about to sacrifice himself. And what happened? Rumple went in to save him.
Right.
What happened to Rumple?
Oh, we're almost there.
That's what I'm saying.
So the old switcheroo worked. So Rumple thought he had the right Pandora's box.
Right.
But he did not.
No.
Pan had the real one.
Yeah.
So in effect, it was that shell game.
It
the
was
game that
shell
we saw
game.
In the beginning with the cards and all
yep,
that stuff.
That came into play.
And Rumple bet on the wrong one.
Yep.
And, you know, it's interesting that Belle stopped Michael and Jonathan from breaking it.
Right.
What if she hadn't got there in time? They'd have broke a nothing box.
Right.
And nothing would have happened.
Or was that the real box? And when they got to the island, Peter switched it.
You know, yeah, it could be. You know, I kept thinking that maybe Bay was the shadow and maybe would take that box to Pan or something like mm-hmm. that. But anyway, it ended up the way it ended up. And so Pan said the choice was yours. So choice is another word that comes up over mm-hmm. and over and over and over mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
So the spinsters said, we'll make you a doll. but I don't know if they made that one. They may have made that one and gave it to Rumpel's father. I don't know. So
maybe, but point is that they were willing to make another one. And then you can even name it the same one as the other one.
Right. And now we found that it was named Peter Pan.
Yeah, then he said, no, Peter Pan is gone.
Mm-hmm. The little boy looked a little, it looked a little, had facial features of the gal that did the prophecy. Not the sewn eyes and all that stuff. But I don't know, just the mouth. There was something similar.
Oh.
In the features. Something.
Oh, apart he was from a the darling child, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So cute.
But he did have an accent. It was interesting that they picked a child that had that kind of... It wasn't an English accent.
It was
almost
Scottish.
It was Scottish.
It was Scottish after Robert Carlyle's.
Right.
And, which is interesting because his dad's kind of was more English, which is Robbie's.
Mm.
But what's fascinating is that little kid Scottish? Or is he just really good with accents?
Don't know.
Be real interesting to find out. Because if he's not Scottish, he did a great job.
So the hourglass, what it's told to Henry is this is the magic that's dying. But actually, it's the days of Peter Pan living on that island running out.
Right. Because as we found out, based on the flashback to when Peter first got there... Mm-hmm. It was because the shadow told him that, no, this is the hourglass to your youth. Because you tried to break the rules. You can't live here. You can come visit here, but you can't live here. And the fact that you tried to break the rules, you're now on a clock, basically.
And remember how Peter Pan said, you know, the game is reset and all this kind of stuff. So there's always this game thing. They haven't really... To my thinking, use the whole game thing enough. It's been here and there, but it's not been as played as I thought it would have been. You know, except for tonight, it was breaking the rules of the game.
Right.
So the game master is breaking the rules. So kind of
right. Funny. Which is funny because if you think about it, when the boys play games, especially when they're really young, when they're making games up, they're not really very, you know, they kind of lapse because they forget that they're, you know, playing a game sometimes.
So the shadow says that children can visit Neverland but not stay. He said, you're the only one that's tried to stay.
Yep.
And your days of staying and being young are almost over.
Which
he said it would die or something.
Right. When that runs out, you die.
Right.
You get old and you die. So wait, here's my question then. So is Peter not able to leave the island at all? Because if he does, he will end up growing old.
We'll have to find out if he drank the water. You know, and it's funny. I got to say this right. Sometimes when you create a game and you create rules, sometimes you die by those rules.
Yep.
And you have to be very careful about the rules that you put on other people because then it'll come back and rule you.
Exactly.
Ooh, that was good.
That's very good.
All right, the first dog lady is sleeping, so that's good. All right, so we're coming in for a landing here, and the final scene was really great. So you've got Emma, you've got Regina, you've got Bay there after the sad Pandora's boxing of Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh.
So let's talk about that.
Oh, dude.
First of all, to all the rumbellers out there, sorry. That must have been crushing to see that.
I think it's a temporary setback.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Because here's the reality. Let me just throw this out here. If they defeat Pan, which they should be able to do fairly soon. Now what?
Right.
Like back to Storybrooke?
Mm-hmm.
Then what? How do you wrap up the season? So you have to have something be said. If Pan is defeated, what's going to come back worse than Pan? If Rumple's in Pandora's box.
Right.
Did it occur to anybody yet that Pandora?
Right. Mm, no. So.
So what exactly is kind of in there? I mean, we know based on the, you know, the myth of Pandora's box. Right. But if hope is in there, is Rumple, is that going to take away all Rumple's evil?
Mm.
Is that really going to be the undoing? And he'll just be, you know, more like the rest of us?
Yeah, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that.
Or if evil's in that box, is that box, once it's unleashed, going to make it make him even more evil than he was before?
I don't know. But that twist came out of total left field.
Yeah, it did.
Because we all really expected for Pan to be vanquished.
Exactly.
And put in the box. But Pan, as the huckster, not only switched the boxes,
yeah,
but then tricked him, and he was pulled in. Now, I mentioned the, because we've seen it before with the whole coconut thing and the candle
pulling
in the shadow.
Yeah.
So we've seen kind of a precursor to that, and that's exactly what happened with Rumple being pulled
in. Right,
so.
Right. But what was interesting is the jewel popped up.
Right. Yeah.
Which we weren't, we didn't know what was going to happen.
No, it didn't work like a safe, and that was kind of sad because that's what I thought.
Yeah. But it popped up, and then the red mist, smoky, whatever you want to call that, grabbed him and pulled him in. I was just sitting there in disbelief because not only did Rumple get put in the box, which just really just tore at my heart.
You and millions of other people out there.
I mean, seriously, that's the point where I just literally felt like I couldn't breathe. And I was just like, no.
You know, in thinking, go ahead.
And then I kept thinking to myself, I cannot believe Peter Pan just, basically, we got the reveal that he is his father. And he just did not care. And then he's like, you think I didn't care? He didn't care. Mm. He didn't care because he put his own son in Pandora's box.
Yeah.
He's that self-absorbed. And you know what? The guy who punched him out told Rumple when he was a boy, you are better off without him. He was right.
Right.
That guy's a jackass.
So the end section of it, when Pan was talking to Henry in front of the mini rescue party.
Which, I gotta interject this. So, they know Rumple went upstairs ahead of them. They go in the room and there's Henry and Pan. Nobody thought to ask, where's Rumple?
Right. Yeah, right.
Not one of them said anything about Rumple. And
well, they were,
did Henry hear any of what happened? Did Henry hear?
Look, if people are talking about love across the chasm, and Neil don't hear it, I think it's hard to hear on Neverland. Cause
maybe.
I'm telling you. Anyway.
I'm just thinking Henry was in an alcove. He wasn't like in a whole other like island.
Right.
So did he not hear that?
I don't know.
Now here's my thinking. Maybe he did. And it's possible that he's going to pull a fast one on Pan.
Well, it's kind of be tough for that now, but we'll see.
I'm thinking somehow it's going to come out.
Okay.
Somehow it's going to be that way.
So again, another tie-in to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. It was kind of like Henry was almost hypnotized.
Yeah.
Or some kind of voodoo something.
Yeah.
Because he was like, yes, you know, I'll stay on Neverland, and sacrifice is always required. So, yes, I'll sacrifice myself for magic for the island. Yes, I'll do that.
Right.
And just the way Pan was kind of reinterpreting things. You know, they're lying to you. I wouldn't lie to you. You know, you need to do. It was really. It was like a big cult. Weird.
Wow. It was
skull
creepy.
Cult-y,
it was very
culty thing.
Oh, that was such a crazy scene.
And he did finally. Now, Regina didn't say it, but he kind of pointed out all the basically who they really are. The savior, you know, Bay, whoever he said, and the evil queen. So, you know, he interpreted who she was
right
to him. And Pan said, every hero gets tested. So there's that word hero again.
Right.
And Henry, you know, wanted to be a hero.
Well, he said, what's going to happen to me?
Yeah.
And he goes, you're going to be the greatest hero of all time.
They will, yeah. They will remember you and all this. Yeah. I could save, you know, I'll stop right there. All right. So why would, they said, well, why would we lie? And Pan said, they're being selfish. So again, he's reinterpreting.
Right.
They're being honest. And he's going, no, they're being selfish. So I don't know. I never really saw Rumpel's father being a manipulator, but I guess if you're a trickster, you would know all that, and you would
sure
be pretty good at it.
Think about it. He's projecting his own feelings onto them.
So Henry, you know, I mean, when I kind of wonder, Rumpel's father was a trickster and a huckster, mm-hmm. but how did he gain magic? That's my question. So maybe there is some type of dagger or something that he used, because he made his hand magical to remove that heart. So who taught him how to do that?
Well, my thinking is the shadow, because the shadow is the island keeper of sorts.
Right.
He himself is the keeper, but then honestly, truthfully, it reminds me of Jacob and
Man in Black. Smokey.
Mm-hmm. The shadow being Smokey. But yeah. In this case, actually, Peter Pan as Jacob is not pure of heart like Jacob was trying to be. So I think what's interesting is I think that it's the key that we've already said earlier is imagination. That's how he's able to do it, because if you believe it, it was only for kids. Kids could make things happen. Adults couldn't do it.
Well, and I noticed the heart was very golden and had a golden hue around it, which mm-hmm. we've never seen before. Mm-mm. And maybe that heart was fake.
That's what I'm saying.
And maybe the heart that was put in there was a temporary thing made from the dust in the hourglass. And so maybe he feels infused. And I think, help me with that word, is I think Henry's feigning death, right?
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
And just, you know, he's not dead at all. Because if he is dead, then it's very much like the end of season one.
Right.
Where he was in that coma.
Right.
And they had to do something to get him out of it.
Right.
Which was believe.
Right.
So it's kind of similar.
Right. So I don't know if that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he pulled out his own real heart. Here's a really crazy thought, because, wow, we've seen just about anything is possible, right? What if somehow, when Pan went back into the room, Henry snuck in, and somehow Rumpel, who had promised not to use magic, actually did use magic and created a Henry double?
Yeah, could be.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What if Henry's still in that other room
or
sitting
believed
there?
It, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hmm? What if Rumpel created a double Henry or traded places with him?
Yeah.
Gold heart.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's so far-fetched, but if that's the case, then where would they go with that? Well, where they would go with that is Henry's now trapped inside that box.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's trapped or he's protected.
And if it was not
with hope.
And if it was not with hope.
So you got believe believer and hope in the same box.
Right? Because I can't imagine that there's evil in that box because, again, evil is already in the world, which is what happened when Pandora opened it the first time.
Right.
So if that's the case, there wouldn't be any evil in there. There would only be hope. And if you got belief and hope, the true believer and hope in there.
Well, whatever's got you trapped can't stay shut.
Exactly.
So
I'm saying there's got to be a way. And I'm telling you, it would be really interesting if that Henry that's on the ground is not really Henry. It's somehow it's a fake. It's a copy. Because Gold would have learned from his own father how to be a trickster.
Right.
He did. Right. He clearly did.
So,
I'm holding out a little bit of hope myself that's not really Henry, that was not really his heart, and that somehow Gold or Rumpel managed to out trick his own father. Because he was surprised by the box, but really was he, or is he just that good of an actor? Mm-hmm. And I mean Rumpel, not Robert, because he's brilliant.
So take heart, Rumbellers. We have hope for you.
Yeah.
And Henry believers, we have hope for you as well. So hang in there. Wild ride, twists and turns like there's never been twists and turns.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, one more thing I wanted to point out. Totally random, but I was just thinking of things, you know, little things that jumped out. So they rowed the boat. They both had to row the little boat out to Skull Rock, which is exactly what they did in the Disney movie. Mm-hmm. And Captain Hook and Smee were in the boat, but the crocodile was chasing them around.
Right.
So in the rescue squad boat, the crocodile was sitting in the front.
That's funny. Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. He was sitting in the front of the boat.
And in the cartoon, Peter Pan was up in the roof of the thing making fun of Hook.
He was hiding and making... Yeah. And see, and again, he was throwing his voice. Mm-hmm. So if they use the Disney movie at all, then that will, again, come into play because he was throwing his voice, imitating. He was pretending he was Hook, telling Smee to put Tiger Lily somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So if they're doing the old switcheroo body-wise and what have you, then I would not be completely surprised if... A lot of this is an illusion that Rumpel has conjured up himself to trick his own father. Because, again, fate worse than death is he brought the box, knowing that Pan would probably know what that box is. If he brought the box and Pan assumed it and trapped him in a box, he's not really in a box, right? Because it's all an illusion, and all he needs to do is wait for that time to run out. Because if the time runs out on the clock... His dad will grow up, and that'll be fate worse than death.
And we, you know, if they use that granular whatever, maybe they used up more time around that.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So there's so many possibilities. Wow. I'm enthralled with this season. I'm absolutely just enthralled with it.
Yeah.
And it's so many places they could go with things. And this season so far, not once have I been disappointed. Not once.
Yeah. That's all we got. And I wrote page after page after page of notes, just writing furiously. So I think we've covered everything that we have right now, but this is not the end of it.
Right.
We have left things out. We've missed things. That's where you come in.
Right.
So we would ask that you would send in your thoughts, your feedback, what maybe we missed, what you agree with, what you don't agree with. That's where the main show comes into play. So we fill in more of the gaps of this excellent episode. Before I go, I keep forgetting. Hold on. I want to thank Kelsey so much, so much for taking time and creating our show notes for the First Thoughts episode. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we will be putting in a link to his Tumblr page. And go check that out. It's really phenomenal. So, Kelsey, I don't know. Go check out Kelsey's Tumblr page.
Okay.
We will put the link in there.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that.
Okay, wait. One more thing.
All right.
There was one more point. It was in the conversation where Regina pointed out that, no, he is trustworthy because a woman named Belle trusted him,
yeah,
and she helped out. So I wanted to remember that that was, I'd forgotten the whole scene. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was in the, I think it was the talking to Neil and saying, no, we can trust mm-hmm. him because a woman named Belle trusted him. And that's how we got this. And that's how we're going to defeat Pan.
Yeah.
So I'd almost forgotten that part, but I'm glad I remember that.
All right.
Because that means that he's trustworthy because Belle trusted him.
That's right. And, you know, maybe Belle can help him get out.
We you know what? Again, if he's even trapped in there.
If he is, I mean, you know, then maybe there could be some communication back and forth.
Right.
You know, I mean, that would make her a hero to
it
help
would.
Him escape from
right.
that. So I think he's going to be in there a while, but not forever, not for all eternity.
No. And but, again, we saw Ruby Red, and there's, you know, what if that box actually puts you into the fire room? Remember the fire room?
Fire room.
Wouldn't that be
yeah.
kind of crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they
so
do something
things.
Different, but yeah, that
wow.
is possible. Maybe Aurora sees him and then they'll pull in Aurora back into the story. Yeah.
Maybe.
Anything's
it's
possible.
So many possibilities.
So,
wow.
So again, a fantastic episode. I want to thank everyone for listening to us drone on and be excited about this great other episode in season mm-hmm. 3. However you listen to us, thank you for doing that. However you found us, thank you for that. We would ask that you would let somebody else know
yep.
that you found us. And if you like what you hear, especially let somebody else know. And please tweet while you're listening. Say, we are listening to at OUAT podcast, first thoughts of Think Lovely Thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate that. It's really helping new people. There's somebody else new just yesterday that listened for the first time. So it's because of the tweeting while you listen and retweeting. Mm-hmm. We thank you for all of that.
Yep.
I want to send big love out to everybody. Some folks are having some really tough times and,
yeah.
and a bunch of people, it's not just one, it's a number of people that we know really going through some tough, tough times, not even, and that, you know, includes the folks in the Philippines, you know, rebuilding after that super typhoon. So anyway, big love out to everybody. Take what you need and pass it on to somebody else. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. We're going to get Quartermaster Juan Forth to take us out. And again, we really appreciate you going along on our journey on our pirate ship with good pirates that treat other people nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we may have somebody walk the plank now and then just for fun. But anyway, take care, guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
Well, mates, thank ye for joining us for the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This be a Roni's Own Media production. We want to hear from you. Our website be onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our email be feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our voicemail line be 657-333-0626. So let us know what you thought of tonight's episode. And keep a ruddy eye for our main show coming in a few days. So tell other Oncers that this be the place to be. Until we sail again, big love to you all. And we'll see ye later. With me, good eye, of course.